What I want to share with you is about how to create a sacred relationship with someone that you've known for a while, where the decision is made or the desire is on both parts, not necessarily to the same degree, but on both parts, to engage in a sacred relationship. With only one person involved, if that's the case, it's more difficult. It's not impossible, but it's much more difficult, because there is a question of values that we each bring to a relationship. How do we want to talk to each other? What feelings are all right to express? When is it important to take time alone, apart? What is it that feels like an invasion of someone else's space and privacy? These are all issues that people face in relationships always, but even more so when you're living with someone else. All of those questions about when is it time to be together, when is it time to be apart, what is permissible to say, not permissible in terms of you have to ask permission, but just what feels right. So I wanted to share with you two principles about this, and you can see where you are with it. The first is that everything takes place in the present moment. This is a radical shift in the way we hold relationships that have been ongoing. We are attached to using the past as evidence for ongoing behavior. We are attached to believing that because someone did this 1,000 times, on the 1,001th time, they're going to do it again, whatever it is. We are attached to the perspective of the past always repeats itself. And as long as we're doing that, we create an expectation which we synchronize with, we are plugged into. So our own inner dynamic of expectation then plays a part in actually what does happen, because we're predicting from the past to the future, which is the next moment, and so we're entirely engaged with whatever our participation was in that pattern. The idea that the present moment is all there is in a relationship is of utmost importance, because if you hold to that, then you can allow the withdrawal of projections, which is probably the weight that sinks the ship of a relationship that is meant to be progressive and healing and open and expansive. The weight of projection is from the past to the present to the future. Because you did this, this is what's going to happen again. Or, because you did this and I didn't finish responding to it, now I'm going to respond now, retroactively, to what you did 5 years ago. Or 5 minutes ago. Or 10 minutes ago. It goes both ways. I'm going to expect that you will do the same thing, and I'm going to respond as if I'm still in that previous experience. So we're very attached to this way of looking at things. In order to what? In order to prevent feeling hurt. And feeling justified is a way, feeling justified in saying, you did this to me, so now I'm going to do this to you, is a way of preventing feeling hurt. The willingness to be in the present moment is the willingness to let the ego recede, and to not have to justify who did what to whom from the past. It's allowing yourself and the other person to be new. And that creates freedom. The expectation that it's possible to have a new thing occur creates the freedom for it to occur. It doesn't predict anything in particular, doesn't mean that someone is going to act suddenly very differently, but it creates the soil from which that can grow. You are, by being in the present, giving a relationship the maximum freedom to become something of what it's meant to be. Whereas, if you cling to the past and feel justified in pointing out all past failures, past differences, past difficulties, you put yourself in a box. There's no freedom, there's just repetition. Because expectation acts dynamically to recreate the past. There's another part of this which goes along with it, which is a state of mind, a state of innocence, let's say, or a state of openness and innocence, the willingness to not know. The willingness to not know what's going to happen, the willingness to not know who you are, the willingness to not know who the other person is. It goes along with what I said about the present moment. We put labels on ourselves about character. I am such and such a kind of person. She is such and such a kind of person. And then we react to each other in that role relationship with those labels. Maybe in the next moment, with somebody who you've had difficulty with on a particular subject, maybe they took a walk that day and a new idea came to them while they were taking a walk, completely out of the blue, just because they're a soul and they went for a walk and the trees interacted with them and they felt a little freer. And so they came to the next conversation with you, ready to say something different. And you greet them with your old expectations. And so you miss what could have happened because your expectation plugged in the dynamic of all the things that went before. But in that day, something else had happened which would have allowed something new to take place had you been able to pay attention to it. So the virtue of not knowing someone, even if you've known them for 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, any amount of time, is that allows for something new to have happened, which gives respect to the fact that each person is growing. What could be more important than to know that? That each person is growing. Not because you tell them to, or they've made a decision to do a particular thing or to act in a particular way, although that too. We each have intentions to try and change certain behaviors or certain attitudes. We do that as part of being conscious. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just going for a walk and the fact that a little light bulb went on, a little breath of air created a little space in whatever the ordinary preoccupation was. And so that person you're living with had a little more space to look at things differently. That's the new that can happen because of the existence of the soul, because the soul is trying to communicate at all times deeper values. That's the new. But if you're not there to witness it, then it goes by because it's not firmly rooted yet. It's just new. It's not. It needs to grow roots. So in a sacred relationship, what you're endeavoring to do is to help the new grow roots, which is to help the soul of each one grow roots into the embodied self. And if you are attached to what I said a moment ago, feeling that retribution has to happen because somebody did something to you a day ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, nothing can happen. Nothing. You close the door to growth. Because you're attached to that. I would also say that one person can bring such a perspective to a relationship while the other one does not, but it's much more difficult because in the presence of, let's say, your own innocence or your own openness to not knowing and to being in the present moment, if another person brings up in a kind of accusatory or justifying way what's happened in the past, then the ego rises up, and you may not listen to it, but it rises up and tries to defend itself and say, but I didn't do that. And as soon as you start saying, but I didn't do that, you're gone. You're in the past again. So the possibility of remaining non-defensive, which is the place of innocence, to not get involved with justifications, becomes harder if there's only one person engaged in trying to be present in the moment. It's possible, but it's more difficult. But you can try to do that. As soon as you say, but I didn't do that, I did this, you did this, you might as well end the conversation because it's all over. That's the way of replaying old issues. That's the way. Who did what to whom is the way of replaying old patterns, whatever the specific content. Of course, behind what I'm saying is the premise, which you need to hold deeply, that each person is a soul capable of growth, and that each person is learning. If you've given up on somebody or on yourself, then you've given up, and that's not a good place to be in for you or for the person you're addressing. And if you have given up on somebody, then there's no healing that can take place, because giving up is a dead end. It's a dead end for all relationships. To think that nothing new can happen, it's a dead end. Finally, in addition to being present in the moment and withdrawing projections, which is part of that, projections are about the anticipation that somebody's going to be such and such a way because of something that happened in the past. There is such a thing as giving people the benefit of the doubt, which the ego doesn't get involved with much, because your ego self just is involved with protecting yourself, just protecting yourself from being hurt. And so ego defenses are what people communicate from most of the time with each other. It may not be blatant, because with people that are not in an overt conflict, you don't see the defenses, but they're there anyway, whether you see them or not. So, giving people the benefit of the doubt about wanting to grow, wanting to learn, wanting to heal in the present moment is perhaps the most important thing that one can give as a gift to others, giving them the benefit of the doubt. In order to do that, you have to be free. You have to be free of needing to have them be the way you think they ought to be, because you feel hurt. Hurt creates the unwillingness to give anybody the benefit of doubt, because you want your hurt to be addressed, and you can't find the willingness to see the good or the desire for growth in someone else that at that moment you feel has hurt you. You can only see what they're doing to you, which is the place of the ego. So these are the requirements for having a sacred relationship. These are not the only requirements, but they're the beginning requirements. And the first one is to be in the present moment with conversations, with interactions. And as part of that, to let go of the projection from the past into the future. And the third part has to do with giving people the benefit of the doubt, with the understanding that everybody wants to learn. Everybody wants to feel better. Everybody wants to grow. If you can hold on even a little bit to these things, even a little bit, you will extricate yourself from that morass, that undertow of feeling that things just repeat themselves endlessly and that patterns can't be interrupted. The reason that they can't be interrupted is because our ego self gets plugged into the dynamic interaction from the past to the present. And so we participate in that which we want to interrupt because we're predicting it's going to happen again. And the way out of that is through being in the present in innocence, without projections, as if you don't know anything, about what's going to happen. Then you bring the maximum possibility of change to any situation, for something spontaneous to happen. And you don't do that one time. That's a permanent place to stay in. The place of innocence is a permanent place. So one time and say, I did that. Well, now I did that. It didn't work, so that's it. Or I did that twice. I reached my quota of innocence. No, you can't do that. That's not useful. What I'm telling you is true of any relationship with anybody. Any relationship becomes a sacred relationship, a healing relationship, a helpful relationship with these things. But it's more important when you're living with someone, because then the tendency to project onto them is stronger. So I offer this to you as a foundational principle for living a sacred life in relationship. And there's much richness in this. And the primary gift that it brings to a relationship is the gift of freedom, the freedom of each person to be themselves. That's the gift. It opens the doors that are locked because of projection. Namaste.